by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Ooh, the summer heat is here on Father's Day. Brian Woodward, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. It's been a wild summer so far, and we're into the heat of it.
Yeah, we got through all those thunderstorms and rain we had a couple weeks ago, and now the grass is growing and the sun is shining, and people are outside grilling.
Yeah, and of course, Father's Day, that means dads are out probably trying to get away from all the family and mowing and firing up the smokers and the grills to get ready.
Yeah, and we've got a nice little flyer. We've had a sale going on for the last week here at the store. Today's the final day, so if you haven't seen that flyer, come on in. A lot of great deals on ammo and other accessories, but it's a great day to celebrate fathers and to enjoy the nice weather.
Next week we were talking about this a little bit ago, that Lemonade Day is in Casper, so there'll be some folks set up here. You know, one thing we don't talk about a lot is you guys always have options for lunch here. We got some food trucks that come in here and they stop by, so you can come in and grab your goods and then grab some food.
Yeah, we do have a pretty good sized lot, so you know, we kind of allow a food truck here or there to come through on the hook, and Rockin' Burgers and Dogs and the Philly Cheese Wagon. They're all regulars here, so if you're passing by around that 11 to 3 time frame and get the hankering for some food, this is a good place to swing by.
Absolutely it is. And of course, coming inside is my favorite thing to do, and there's so many different options, different parts of the store that, you know, you guys are fully stocked. You're about as stuffed to the gills now with camping and hiking gear.
Yeah, we are in full swing camping. We've got all of our Alps outdoor gear, so all of your quad chairs and recliners and cots and, I mean, sleeping bags, you name it. All of that stuff is in stock, and you know, we got it in before the tariff pricing has kicked in, which, you know, it seems like we were just talking about COVID pricing and how that was affecting us with shipping. But tariffs are definitely taking a play on inventory. But you know, as far as the store goes, we get the hunt results. I think draw results come out this next week. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys, you know, pretty happy, and hopefully drew some elk tags and deer and antelope tags that they're looking for. And it really is a great time to be looking at a new firearm to, you know, get that in your hands, get some optics put on it, and get to the range and enjoy this nice weather.
Well, and, you know, you had mentioned some of the prices, how you got all this stuff in here, but ammo is one of those items where COVID pricing and COVID supplies was, you know, kind of a spooky time, but now you're pretty stocked.
It's hard to imagine, but there was a time where I could count the number of boxes of ammo on a 60-foot run of ammo. Now you can't count how many outs we have. I mean, we have a ton of ammo, and we can take care of you. I mean, there's some oddball stuff that still is only produced seasonally. However, as far as the basic hunting calibers, man, there's a ton of options out there right now.
When it comes to firearms, are you seeing a trend when guys are coming in and really kind of putting their eyeball on a certain rifle that they're looking at for this year?
You know, the one caliber that's been fantastic and in high demand is the 7mm PRC. And as far as the firearm itself, it seems that there's been more of a trend of people going more towards the higher end ones. So the Fierce, maybe Browning X-Bolts, maybe a Christensen, but the definitely the higher end ones, maybe because of the layaway options that we have available, maybe they got some tax money, but the higher end rifles definitely seem like they are in more demand. But there's a lot of cool features with a lot of those. So, I mean, if you haven't been in to see some of the, you know, new carbon fiber barrels, some of the different stock options, some of the little accessories options, whether it's a bipod or mounting options, it's definitely worth coming in and taking a look at them.
One of the things that I know with the way that technology is and the way that, you know, the product lines are running, I mean, the weight of a lot of these firearms is really nothing like they used to be, and that's a big factor too.
Yeah, you know, the days of the 10 and 11 pound rifles are kind of gone by the wayside, and the 5 and 6 pound rifles are available now.
When we go, we, you know, hunt with Tony up in Area 48, and, you know, the guns he has the Christensens, and, you know, that 7mm PRC are, I mean, those are accurate and really heavy duty guns.
Yeah, the Bergara also is, the Bergara has been a fantastic option too. There's some steel barrel options, but then there's some really good carbon fiber options, and people are really happy with the accuracy and the just overall fit and finish of those guns.
And if you have questions about the guns, the Gun Counter is always available for questions too. If maybe you have questions on a higher range, you know, or a higher end shot, or, you know, optics or anything for any of these guns.
Yeah. The optics options we have, I mean, we've got a ton in stock. We've got Burst, we've got Leupold, we've got some Swarovski, we've got Vortex, of course. We can pretty much get our hands on just about anything, but those are the ones that we have found over the years that have given us the best quality, the best customer service, the best warranty. Most every one of them have a lifetime warranty now. And we'll stand behind those companies because they stand behind you as the hunter.
Well, and that's another thing about Rocky Mountain Discount Sports is the quality of stuff you're getting here is not like at some of those big box stores.
Yeah, I mean, we try to carry a good, better, and best philosophy when we're looking at product. You know, whether you know, it's a knife, and whether you want to. $15 knife, a $60 knife, or a $300 knife. We're going to have something in each one of those price ranges. And typically, it just kind of comes down to, you know, you generally get what you pay for. And that's really true in the optics world, probably in the knife world in terms of quality of steel. But, you know, if you just need something to get by, a $15 knife might be just fine, you know. Right. If you're the guy that loses it every 2 weeks, like yeah. myself, that's probably all you really need. But, for those that you know, want a nice high quality knife, you know, the Benchmades, you know, there's a lot of really good options. The CRKTs, there's a lot of ZTs are really good one also. There's a lot of good options, and it will have something that'll fit each classification, or, you know, good, better, and best for you.
And that's all throughout the store. That's not just knives or firearms or optics. I mean, the camping side of things. Mm-hmm. You have your Coleman and your Alps, you know. I mean, it's kind of the different levels.
Yeah, and we've kind of dropped some of the low end of the camping stuff. You know, in the past, we've carried, you know, some of that made in China, just like one-time use tent yeah, type right. stuff. And really, no, I mean, maybe back then you could get a tent for $39 or $49, but literally a lot of those were just kind of a one-time use. You know, once the wind hits it, all of a sudden the stitching comes off of the, mm-hmm. you know, and now you have multiple doors on your tent. I mean, I don't know.
And you're laying in water.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, the product that we're carrying now, I mean, it's going to be good longevity, good durable product that you're not going to be disappointed with.
If you're taking the family out for a summertime camping trip or a hiking trip or side-by-sides, make sure you have all your permits and make sure you have, you know, your ORV stickers and state park passes. You can get them all here.
Yep, pretty easy one-stop shop in terms of that stuff, the ORV tags and the state park passes. You know, a lot of people just don't like having to go online and create their own account, and, you know, maybe they just kind of fumble through that. But we can take care of that for you, and once you're in the system, then it's really pretty easy for us to add a vehicle, add another day pass, add a, you know, a camping permit. It gets easier as it goes.
Come on in, check them out here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Brian, fishing has taken the center stage for the last few weeks with the Wyoming Walleye Stampede, the Governor's Cup, and you've been out on Glendale a lot for another tournament. So how is the fishing around the area at this point?
You know, in the area in general, I think it's pretty good. I still think that the Glendale fishery is still struggling a little bit. We're definitely seeing a good you know, year class of 13 and 14 inchers in there. But we're missing, it seems to be that we're missing a lot of those, 22 to 26 inch fish. It's fishing a lot differently. I think, you know, the forage, the lack of forage is a problem. The fish are looking pretty skinny in a lot of parts of the lake. Mm-hmm. I think they're really relating to bugs. And so, you know, typically what I find is when the bugs are the main forage, that the worms and leeches tend to, kind of overtake, you know, any of the swim baits and the crankbaits and that kind of stuff. So the fishing's definitely, you know, again, every year it's a little bit different, just with these reservoir systems and the water fluctuating up and down. Guys kind of like to do what they like to do. You know, I'm not a guy that likes to really pull worm harnesses and that kind of stuff, even though it's really effective at times. But it can be challenging, especially in a reservoir like Glendo, where there's lots of weeds coming up. So, you know, trying to get the worm harnesses or your slow death hooks over the tops of those weeds can be kind of tricky, really. And it takes a little bit of time to figure out.
And I'll tell you, pulling the worm harnesses, man, that if you're not out there just to be there and relax, that's some boring fishing.
I would agree. I mean, it's kind of, to me, I'd rather be pitching a shoreline and trying to find some active fish, and we're still able to do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. And the fishing, you know, we've really probably been spoiled over the years on, mm-hmm. you know, when you can go down to Glendo or Pathfinder and get a limit of walleyes every time you go out, I mean, that's not necessarily common across the country.
Right.
You know, you talk to people that fish Colorado and some of the surrounding states and, we caught two or three and we're like, oh, God, that fishing is horrible there. But, you know, I talked to guys, you know, this last week, they're like, oh, we only caught 15. I'm like, well, 15 is a pretty good number, yeah. You know?
Yeah, right.
I mean.
Well, and especially if you're not looking at it as the tournament fishing or, you know, things like that. If you're not looking for that 30 incher, if you're looking for something to put in the freezer, mm-hmm. really 15 to 20 inches is perfect.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the tournament fishermen, you know, they're focused, the way that they're fishing is a little bit more, maybe aggressive, I guess, and it's more of a hunt. You know, you got guys that are really in shallow, in the weeds, and hoping that they're going to get five bites a day. Where, you know, if you take the family out and you want to, you know, just have the kids reeling in fish, you know, the bottom bouncer and a worm harness it or, a jig and that kind of stuff is, you know, kind of the funner way to do it, so that, you know, everybody gets to, you know, I was thinking about this the other day when I was out there and we're pulling worm harnesses and it's like, okay, well, that's your pole and this is my pole and this is, you know, and it's like, well, we're just reeling in fish if, you know, when we hook one up and it's like, okay, it's, you know, like you said, kind of boring.
Yeah.
Gives you a good opportunity to sit back and eat some snacks.
Right.
But for me, it's not my type of fishing. You know, I'd rather get on we found some main lake points that the water's coming up really quick and we're just pitching swim baits over the top of them. And one guy's throwing a jig and a leech and he was catching some fish as well. It wasn't hot and heavy, but it was enough to keep us, you know, entertained.
So from when we were there in early May mm-hmm. to now, has there been a lot of change on where fisher are hanging out? I mean, the waypoints that you have marked on your electronics, is it different?
It's way different. You know, I mean, we're talking that, the water down at Glendo is coming up about 6 inches a day. So it's probably, you know, 12 to 15 feet higher than it was, you know, when we were there in early May. So the fish are moving, you know. A lot of times they transition off these main lake points and they start working their way into the back of the bays and they're looking for food, you know. And when those weeds come up, the bugs hatch in the weeds, the minnows hide, you know, hide in the weeds, and therefore the walleyes chase them and follow them. This week down there, I caught a 17-inch largemouth bass. It was about 3.5 pounds. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I haven't caught a bass down there for, 15 years probably. And I've caught quite a few crappie and even caught one perch this last week. So didn't catch any catfish, which I'm glad because I don't like those suckers. But there's plenty of fish still to be caught.
It's funny how you say that the fish are moving to where the food is. Fish don't have hobbies like we do, or we go fishing, get a little frustrated. They're just there to eat. That's all they're there for.
Yes, and that's the thing, is you got to find the feeding fish. We were throwing swim baits the other day and watched, I can't even tell you how many times, a fish just chasing it to the boat, you know, and it's like, oh, I know there's fish in here. I can see them. How am I going to get them to bite? And so, that's kind of the fun of it all, is trying to figure it out. Did talk to some guys that had been fishing Pathfinder, and even though that water is dropping so fast, it's probably the lowest that, you know, a lot of people have seen it ever. But the fishing's still been pretty good. Lots of small fish still. However, there seems to be a little bit better class of 16 to 19 inch fish in there as well. So that's a good option. And I noticed on Facebook that Jay's Walleye League at Alcova last week looked like that had pretty good results and had crowned some new faces winning that one event on Wednesday night. So the walleye and walleye fishing there has still been pretty good. So,
well, obviously, you know, whatever you're fishing, maybe it's the river. I know it's being fished pretty hard now. We're getting hot temperatures, so, you know, those fish are kind of stressed out at times. So, you know, going early is probably a pretty good idea if you're going to go out there.
Yeah, they dropped the flows on the river last week from, I don't know, 3,600 down to almost 1,700. So, That's gonna affect how those guys are targeting those fish, and also, you know, just in general, like you said, the water temperatures and the handling those fish is gonna be really important to secure the survival of those fish.
And obviously, if you're just looking to go out and fish the river, checking out one of the outfitters or one of the guides and going that way, then they're gonna, you know, help you with all that stuff too.
Yeah, there's a lot of reputable guides, you know, on the river and on some of the reservoirs now. So if you're interested in getting out, I mean, it's definitely a great opportunity where, you know, they supply everything for you, and you know, you just jump in a boat and hand them some cash at the end of the day and call it good, you know.
Not a bad way to do it.
No, I mean, it's pretty relaxing. I usually, like I said, I've tried to take one float trip a year, usually in the spring, to just kind of get my feet wet, per se, and kind of see what the guides are doing, what tackle they're using, and how they're targeting those fish. And it's just one of the more relaxing days I have. You know, sometimes you just sit back and just, like, you know, I'm just going to watch the wildlife as I float down this river.
Right. Well, whatever you do, get out there and stop in here first at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Thanks for coming back to Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors, where you can always listen to all of our great episodes. And if you listened to my first elk hunt in Wyoming a couple of years ago, you'll know one of the guys I was hunting with, Chad Barker, was on the show there. And Chad is in the studio with me today because you're out on a new endeavor, Chad.
I am. Good morning. Thanks for having me. So, yeah, I'm back. Now I'm the outfitter, so a little exciting, new endeavor. Excited to be going down this path.
1890 outfitters, obviously 1890, the first year Wyoming became a state. Matter of fact, we're almost to the pinnacle time when Wyoming became a state, and just so happens you're booking hunts for your first year of being an outfitter.
I am. I'm booking hunts, and we're trying to get this off the ground and get rolling, and exciting times. It's a little stressful trying to get all this put together and get it working, but we're excited to see what the future holds, and, you know, offer an experience for our clients.
One of the things that I know is you have years of experience as a guide and helping outfitters and really knowing exactly what the hunters need and what they're going to get when they come to an experience, because usually if you're getting an outfitter, maybe you're coming from out of state, or maybe you don't have the time to put in to scout and find the land and get the access. So really, as an outfitter, you just kind of swoop people up and help them the entire stretch of the way.
Yeah, we do. You know, being an outfitter, it comes with a lot. But, you know, we're giving an experience to people, and we're giving them our expertise on the area, you know, especially non-residents coming to the state, may not know the area. They put in for a tag, they drew it, and now they're going, well, I don't have the time to come to Wyoming and spend the time in the hills and you know, doing the things to look for the animals. And so that's where the outfitters come into play, is we have the experience and the expertise of the area. We can take you in, we can provide you with that experience and help you have a successful hunt.
So you're offering elk, deer, and antelope hunts, and obviously they all have their specific prices and, you know, levels that you can offer up. But just on a basic hunt, when somebody's coming in to trust you to take them out, like what's the experience going to be for them?
So we offer on all-inclusive hunt, fully guided, myself and other guides. We offer a cabin stay for our hunters with all the modern amenities, running water, hot shower, full-time cook, Starlink internet, TV, fire pit, things of that nature, you know. So we're right in the middle of our hunting lease. The cabin is a rustic stay, but like I said, with some newer amenities. Being right there in the middle of the lease, we're 5 minutes from hunting at any time. So these hunters get to come in, they get to, you know, enjoy our beautiful state and the scenery, come into this cabin stay. A 3 to 5 day hunt is usually what we're booking on the elk and the deer side. And they come in, we unload them, you know, shoot the guns. We got a shooting range there. We make sure that they're dialed in for our elevation and for what we're going to be doing in the landscape that we're shooting at. And then we take them out and we give them an experience, you know, and that's really been the big push for me as a professional guide. The last 5-6 years that I've been a professional guide, is watching these individuals come to our state, and we see this every day, and we kind of take mm-hmm. it for granted that we have this here. And to watch these people come from, you know, bigger metropolitan cities that don't have the mountains in their backyard and don't have the animals, and to watch them just kind of ooh and ah over the scenery and the animals and the landscape, and we see it every day, and we just drive past it and just kind of take it for granted. That's been really eye-opening to me, watching these clients come in and do this for the last few years, and just their excitement to be here and the beauty of our state. And, I just want to share that with people and of all walks of life, whether, you know, you're an experienced hunter, it's your first time, our veterans. I love doing our veteran hunts. I love doing the kid hunts, you know, and that's going to be my big push is to give those type of individuals the chance and the opportunity to get in the outdoors and go hunting.
Well, and like I mentioned earlier, my first elk hunt, you were part of that.
I was.
So you got to see my awe in that. And then last year, my dad came out for his first hunt. So, you know, knowing that now he's like talking to cousins and all this stuff that want to come out and do those things. So what you're talking about is one of the things that maybe not every person that lives in Wyoming gets the opportunity to see people like this, but to know that this opportunity is here, and you don't even have to be from out of the state. If you live here and you can't get out, or maybe mobility issues are kind of your downside, you guys can help out with any of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, being an outfitter doesn't mean we're only helping the non-residents, you know. We want to help everybody. You know, if you're a resident and you've got limited abilities to get out in the field and find the animals, or you just need some help getting there, we're obviously open and willing to help you do that as well, and that's what we want to do. Being an outfitter comes with some pros and some cons. There's people that are for it, and there's people that are very much against it, and I understand both sides of that. So it is a business, and we're going to treat it that way, but we're going to give people an experience that they'll never forget and give them an opportunity to see the landscape and harvest an animal and have a experience that they'll never forget.
Chad Barker's who we're talking to, 1890outfitters.com. The number 18 and then spelled out 90 is where you can go. You can get them on Facebook. And then the website there too. Now, last year you got the opportunity to go out, and you and your daughter both got a pretty big bull elk, and
yeah.
That's got to be pretty cool from a dad standpoint. But you know, I mean, still, like the guiding and the outfitting really comes into that too.
Yeah, you know, I've done a lot of interesting things in my life, you know. But being able to take my 13-year-old daughter on her first big game hunt, you know, I took her to the Game and Fish Hunter Ed program. We went through the class. I sat through the class with her. So I got to watch this whole process from step one. And, you know, again, with anybody that I hunt with, you get this joy and this sense of, you know, accomplishment watching them do this for the first time or the 100th time, you know. But being able to do it with my daughter was special. You know, the season's short for bulls up there, and we drew a tag. She drew a tag on her first year putting in, which is unique and great. Yeah. Great to do, and I drew it as well, and so yeah, we went up. We had a short timeline to kind of get it done, and I came home from hunting to pick her up. Kind of a funny story, and come home to pick her up, and I get home and she's sick.
Oh no!
And I'm like, what? Well, you're sick, and she's like, well, I didn't want to tell you over the phone because I knew you'd stay in the woods and you wouldn't come and get me, and I really want to go, you know. So, anyways, we get out and we do it, and it's the real experience for her this time. I mean, we had to track, we had to hunt, we had to crawl, we had to be patient, we had to do all the things that I was hoping it was going to be. It wasn't just one of those where, you know, you get to jump out of the truck and there they are, right? No, we had to spot and stalk, and she had to belly crawl, and you know, long story short, we had the opportunity to harvest a bull for her, and we took our time and put her on it, and she did the work. You know, we rearranged him in and set the gun, set the turret, and I made sure she was on him and told her to take a deep breath, and she pulled the trigger and whacked him on her first shot.
Wow.
About 300 yards, pretty neat. A sense of emotion that I've never felt before, and you know, we hugged and hoot and hollered, and then the work begins, you know, and right. She had never experienced that. So we did. We had to pack out and make backpack trips, packing this bull elk out, and it was a long, late night, and she was wore out. I was wore out to the point when we got in the truck and started driving back to camp, it was just silence. Everybody was tired. Everybody was wore out. Just a lot of emotions that day. But it was great. It was something that I'll never forget. And, you know, holds a very special place in my heart for sure.
So from a dad standpoint, had to be one of the highlights of
absolutely
your, you know, relationship with your daughter. But as an outfitter and a guide, you know, when you can bring a young person out and give them that experience and get the whole experience, that had to be another high for you as well. And, you know, to have that influence over a young person and to know that, you know, they're going to be better in life because of things that you taught them.
Well, absolutely. You know, you're giving them that opportunity to give them something other than what they're seeing in today's world, right? You know, you're getting them away from the electronics and all the stuff that these kids have at their fingertips that we didn't have,
right?
You know, these influences. And to be able to give her and any young individual the opportunity to get outdoors and become our future outdoorsmen. That's the future of, you know, our hunting world and our conservation of these animals, and it's special and it needs to be happening. You know, I think it needs to happen more, and I'd like to be a big push for that to help influence these young individuals to get out, get their hunter safety card, get out in the outdoors, go hunting, you know, go see our wildlife, you know, be a conservationist, go find these little niches that, you know, I don't want to say is a dying thing, but I want to make sure that it, you know, continues on for a long time for sure.
Well, and that's a great point, is where if maybe you were thinking about, you know, getting an over-the-counter tag, taking your daughter or son out, they got to have that Hunter Ed course. And now midsummer is a great time to do that because you don't have to have your hunter safety to get a permit, a license. You have to have it to get out in the field. So now would be a good time. And then get over to 1890outfitters.com and start looking into your hunting trip. And do you have plenty of availabilities for the fall?
We do. You know, we're booking right now. We still have some available spots, and we're taking phone calls daily and emails and sending out our packet to hunters and still trying to get people signed up. We've got some late season cow tags and hunts available. We still got a couple deer openings. So, yeah, absolutely. We've got some openings if people are interested to, like you said, reach out to us. The 1890 Outfitters at yahoo.com or 1890outfitters.com on the website, and they can reach out to us there as well.
Yeah, and maybe it's not something you're looking at this year. Maybe you're looking for 2026. Now's a good time to go ahead and get that booked so that you know when it's time to put in the license to get the application in.
Sure, yeah, we can book a few years out if that's what you're looking at. You know, non-residents have preference points that they've got to use, and if they don't quite have enough saved up for these areas, you know, we can look at that for the future for them, whether that's next year or the following. Absolutely, you know, we can book into further seasons.
Awesome. Well, get over, check it out again. 18, it's the number 18, 90outfitters.com. And Chad, I hope everything goes well for you this year. And I know it's been a rushed year so far. I know you went and took the classes and the test and got everything rolling within the last couple of months.
I did, but it's good. You know, I feel good under pressure, and we made it happen and got it done, and it was successful, and we're just looking forward to the future, and appreciate you having me on and giving us that boost of confidence to keep moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, again, 1890outfitters.com. You can go to their Facebook page, their website, or 1890outfitters@yahoo.com if you want to directly hit up Chad. There you go. Great way to get out in the field this year is with 1890 Outfitters.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
One of our favorite segments of the week is when we get a chance to talk with Wyoming Game and Fish. And, you know, it's always informative because there's information that people think they know, but maybe they don't really know. And Janet, I think it's our job to let them know. And one I think that is a little bit confusing to a lot of folks is public access areas. We brought in Matt Pogge because he is the go-to guy with the knowledge that is like gold. The great part about living in Wyoming is the public access areas that we do have. And Matt, it's your job to make sure that these areas are taken care of.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. The great things that we do in the Wyoming Game and Fish Department is we work very hard to ensure that people have the opportunities to go out and recreate, whether that be hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, all that kind of stuff. We work really hard at that. We've got two access programs. One that I'm sure most people are aware of, it's kind of our high visibility one, is called the Access Yes program. The other access program is the program that I work with, and that is the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission owns or leases a variety of property across the state, and it's my job to manage those. We typically divide those areas into two different types. One we call Wildlife Habitat Management Areas, or a WHMA. Those are places that are typically large pieces of property, thousands of acres typically. We manage for wildlife habitat, crucial wildlife habitats. The other type of properties that we have are what are called public access areas. Those can be areas that we own, or an awful lot of them are private lands on which we have either a long-term or a permanent easement. And an easement is basically a property right. Well, one of the rights that we typically buy is for pedestrian fishing access. We also have other areas, what we call public access areas, that have hunting opportunities. We have some that have camping opportunities, and we have many with boat ramps available also. In the Casper region, we have 27 public access areas. Of those, there are 22 that are located along a stream or river, and they go anywhere from Medicine Bow River arm of the Seminole Reservoir, all the way up kind of following the arc of the Platte River to the Converse County line at Orange Junction Bridge.
Are all of these areas accessible to everyone, the public access areas?
Yeah, for the most part, all of our public access areas are open year-round.
So it can be kind of confusing, Drew. And so one of the things that I suggest for folks is that you get online to the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. And there's on our homepage, there is a green button that says public access. As you kind of click through those options and find what we're calling public access areas or PAAs, there is a list of all of them in the state.
There's lots of opportunities for people to get out, and there's no reason to be sitting at home and inside.
We work pretty hard to, we're constantly on the lookout for other access opportunities, but we try to work hard. I work hand in hand with our fisheries management crew and our lands department to identify other opportunities. And we like to be able to have places spaced out along the river where you can make a nice float. But we're constantly looking for areas to access, especially the North Platte River, because it is such a tremendous resource for fishing.
Is there like a vehicle access to the majority of these public access areas?
Yeah, every single one of them have at least a parking lot. Some of them, once you get in the parking lot, then you might have to hike a little bit, like say at Big Muddy Pond, which is just east of town. Great place to go do some fishing in the pond itself, but then you can also access the river and do some bank fishing along the river.
Now, are these public access areas, are they set up so anyone can use them, or are they directed?
We try to work towards our constituent group, and our constituent group primarily are hunters and anglers. And so they're there primarily for the hunting and fishing opportunities. That's not to say that you can't bring your family along and have a good time. At most of our areas, we don't have a picnic table or a pergola or anything for you to sit under. One great exception to that is out at our North Platte Flycasters/Jessica's Pond public access area. At the pond itself, you have an excellent opportunity to catch fish. It's a beautiful area. And we do have some picnic tables and little shelters there and some nature trails and all kinds of fun stuff. It also has a handicap fishing pier. So it's a great place to go and especially bring out the family. It's a great place for kids to go fishing the first time because they stand a really good chance of catching a nice fish. The hatchery guys oftentimes drop some of their brood call fish in there. So those are larger, really catchable type fish. And it's a productive lake or pond. So the fish grow really well in there. And like I say, it's just a fantastic place to go catch a fish. And then you can also access the river from there too.
So it really is option for lots of people to come out and check that out. And Matt, I know that you and I have talked a few times in the past that you guys work really hard to maintain all of these public access areas. And there are some people that get a little unruly in some of these areas and probably need to treat it a little better than they have.
Yeah, and that's one thing. That's great that you bring that up, Drew, because one thing about the public access areas that I was alluding to earlier is the fact that many of our public access areas are on private land. Okay, and it may be one thing, let's say you're out with a bunch of buddies and had a couple beers and maybe you got a axe to grind against the Game and Fish and you want to shoot up a sign or something.
Don't give people ideas.
But you're actually hurting, in many cases, a private landowner who has been generous enough to open up their property to allow for public access. So please treat those with respect. Treat them like they're your own property.
There have been videos floating around a little while of some of the bathrooms not being treated properly either. And, you know, people always complain about maybe there aren't enough facilities around the area. But when you keep shooting up doors and busting doors off and things like that, it just really is irritating that people continue to do things like that.
Yeah, we spend a lot of money, close to $100,000 a year, replacing signs And a lot of that is due to vandalism. You know, those are license dollars that are essentially kind of being wasted, really, when they could be going to something like a habitat treatment, but instead we're having to replace a sign because people are disrespectful and whatnot. But, you know, we work hard to, a lot of the areas have comfort stations or outhouses, hire contractors typically to maintain those. And during the summer months when we get a lot of high use, at least in the Casper area, they're hitting those 2 times a week so that they try to keep them maintained and nice and attractive for you to use. But yeah, it's a big job keeping all those up and clean and well-maintained, but we're working hard at it.
Talking with Matt Pollock and Janet Millick from Wyoming Game and Fish Department about public access. Now, Matt, what's the best way for people to really get to know what areas are available?
If you want more information on public access areas, our website is a great resource, wgfd.yo.gov/public-access, or as Janet mentioned earlier, up in the kind of upper right-hand corner, there's a green button that says public access. Get on there, click that button. And there's several different ways you can access that information. If you know the name of a specific place, also, we have an interactive map. You can click on that dot and it'll give you more information. And then also there's a third way that, let's say you're interested in access areas that have boat ramps. You can click boating and it'll give you a listing of all the access areas throughout the state that have boat ramps.
Yeah. And again, online, wgfd.wyo.gov, the map is interactive. So you can actually click on every one that is there, everyone you want to find out and get all the information, whether there's a fire ban or not or any of that. So it's really cool and interactive. It's a great part of the website.
I'm not a tech guy, but one thing that is pretty cool is you can if you go to the website, you can download georeference PDF maps for your phone so that you can know where you're at on that access area and know, say, when you're coming up to a boundary or something like that.
Matt Pollock, Janet Millick, thank you guys so much. Get out and use the public access areas that we have that are well-maintained and perfect for anything you need.
Thanks, Drew. Hope to see you out there.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.